Secondly, I wanted to bring the committee on the deep subject, which is in the presence of Africa as the Israeli. The meeting which I attended, those would be the two issues of. I'm not sure if you want to propose any other item you want to add in your team.
Yes, I think we should proceed in terms of consideration of minutes from the Philippines. When do we consider the minutes?
Oh, this is part of that agenda, consideration of the quality program and adoption.
Seeing that later here we will go to the summit, and I don't see the problem making provision that can be reached and what is the state of our relationship to the European Union. That we have a good position to increase the level of our program.
Can we deal with this when we look at the program? Any other issue we find. So we will stick to this agenda of consideration of the committee program and of course adopting the minutes, and then we look at the briefing on the preparation for this. doesn't identify. So that some people know this not. Maybe we start with this. With the minute. I want to check with you that if everybody has it. If everybody has it, the copy. It's a thread of three. The first one is a 10. The last one is the 28th of May, followed by the 10th. And then the last one is followed by the 10th of June and the 12th of June. These records are very important. As the former union minutes were not very important, but we only realized when somebody took us to court that this was very important when we had to prove in our records. And we have to manufacture. Can we go to the first set on the 28th? Any corrections? Seeing that we are agreeing. It's moved by Honorable Mahal and seconded by Reverend Mr. Kagui. We adopt it. Thank you. So let's go to the 10. I hope everybody did this in this minute. Anything on page 1? Correction? Anything on page 2?
Okay. Yes, I'll look at the first one as well.
About here.
Okay. Page 3. What is it?
What's it on page 2? Yes, on page 3.
Yeah, page 3. The one that starts with the people of foreign policy is pronounced. I think the last one should be. It's not on the beach.
Yeah.
I think the last one should be. The last sentence should be. Departments will interrupt the community with the staff. True information. True information.
Okay. Thank you. Page 4.
The first starts with the headline responsible for the department. The second sentence is that South Africa is a full signatory. People should say, and with reduction.
South Africa is a full signatory.
And with reduction, with itself. With
reduction. Extending for weeks.
Yes.
This happened, you see, think to be able to pick up such errors, only a person who has read them. If you have not read, you won't be able to.
It's a beautiful letter.
Page 7. If you are not to this one, and the matter is out, I know that most of the people find something to do with this. Page 7. Moved as the true record of the meeting of intent by Honorable Makhanapwa and seconded by Honorable Kupran. Any objection? None. Removed. The last set. With those corrections, the two records of that meeting moved by Honorable Makam and seconded by Honorable Moon. Any objection? None. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you. is heavenly by the honorable book. Now we will go to the program. Let me prepare this document. By indicating that as a chairperson, I was still in consultation with a number of who have been running this particular portfolio with an intention that at some stage, as this portfolio committee, we must go to some workshop so that we are able to clarify what are the issues for us. But remember, there's a parliamentary committee on international affairs, and one of the persons of the interacting with Portuguese is the House Chair, who happens to be a member of this committee, Honorable Francisco Prat. Because I'm getting clarity as to what comes into this committee, what goes into the International Relations Committee, which is the House Committee, and all those must be clarified. So we will do those consultations. You might find that this proposed program thus far might not be comprehensive enough in terms of the issues that you think as the committee must be able to deal with. So we must just remain flexible, but we want you to be open to raise all sorts of issues which you think that they are very important for this committee to be considered. And you know, as we were drafting this with the staff members, somebody from the minister raised something which they want to put to us. And I must start raising that we will talk about it. There's a need for a review of that. And I suspect that is one of the key issues which we have to deal with immediately. And we can't let go with this. But in terms of this proposed program, Janelle, do you want to speak to this program? As I was saying,
thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Members,
Yes, you're very far. Can you occupy that seat? Thank you. Yes. Just to remind you, the researcher and the content person, these are the people we're dealing with. Mpo and Nell.
Thank you, Chairperson. The program as it stands now is a draft which is meant for the second term. As members will be aware that the first term has already, we are at the end of the first term, which was the last 10 weeks, which ends tomorrow. And then the second term, which will be end of July into October, which is the one that we are proposing this program for. Then there will be a third term, the last term, which will be from end of October to end of November, before the last recess at the end of the year. So what is required is that the committee maps up a program within this it's a period of 7 weeks, of activities that they will be able to achieve within the 7 weeks. And also what will be of importance is the financial resources to make sure that the committee does have money to accomplish some of these activities which it needs to do. So when the committee considers this program, it's our advice that they take into consideration the time, which is within 7 weeks, and that 7 weeks still has a parliamentary program, which is constituency periods and other So we tried to fit in a committee program within the program of Parliament. And it's just to see how some of the things can be done and which ones can be, if the committee feels that maybe some of the activities here should be moved to the third term, the last term, that can be done. But it's just to map a way forward so that the committee has both committee work locally and committee work being oversight. This is all started all. Thank you, Chairman.
Do you want to say anything?
No, Chairperson, I think Nina has covered most of the issues. I'll chip in as we go on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, let me refer to your earlier point on consultation. I think it has to be much more wider than just me. You said you were with the House Chair for Internal Relations this morning. I think as a result of a gap which was found to be existing between the Portfolio Committee on Foreign Affairs and International Relations, particularly the PGIR, it was decided that somehow recently, this also came up in a meeting with the Speaker, and I think the Speaker thought it was also appropriate that now you no longer speak about the Foreign Affairs Portfolio Committee, but now you talk about international relations, which means now this is now appropriate for that gap to be closed. So I think your consultation may have to also include the House Chair was working on this before, and it's of it. And then I think you need to include people who are working with the African Renaissance. The African Parliament. And one of them is Ajay, we'll put here. And perhaps get the Deputy Speaker was also who has an interest in that, and see whether you cannot really close that gap. The second point that I wanted to make was, where do we derive this program, this draft? Do we derive this from the budget vote speech? Because then if we say we derive it from the budget vote speech, then we would have to have the sequence and say, and the program of the African agenda, this is what we're going to do. In the program of public diplomacy, this is what we're going to do. And this would also help us to determine whether there are funds for those activities. As it is, I'm not sure where we derive this this draft.
Any other input? I think I could come with the honorable
panel. But also the other element that I wanted to bring in is the fact that how can I put it? There are activities in which the South African government is involved. for example, in terms of mediation, in terms of provision of development funding, and so on and so forth, where I feel that maybe we should include those projects or those programs into our own program. I have in mind, for example, the Southern Sudan project, where South Africa is involved through the International and African Renaissance Fund. And from my previous life at the University of South Africa, where I was involved very heavily into this project, where we're training the civil service in Southern Sudan. And considering also that the South African government is also chair of the post-conflict reconstruction in that country, and the amount of money that we have spent there, and that in another 2 years, I think 2011, there's going to be a referendum in Southern Sudan where the people of Southern Sudan will decide whether to remain part of the Greater Sudan or to secede and to become their own a nation. I think that we should include that as part of the program. I don't know whether in terms of it will be in terms of visitation or in terms of even much more involvement. But I also have an issue with Zimbabwe. We have seen in the recent past the sort of issues that have been raised there, but we also continue to receive reports of serious human rights violations in Zimbabwe, and this is ongoing, even as we speak now. I don't know how we have to handle that, whether it's as part of the on-site visitation, I don't know, but I think these are two issues that I would like to contribute to the program. Thank you.
I'm not sure whether to say which is not what honorable.
No. Well, thanks. No, I want to agree with the honorable member Mubu on the question of Zimbabwe. I'm not sure how we can interact with the situation there, lest we are accused of being a bit lethargic about the situation in Zimbabwe. And therefore, it's important for us to be on top of that situation, so that at any moment, and we are in a position to account to the southern public. The second issue is the situation of the Sahara and the Republic. And it's an issue that is burning, that has been there for years. It's an issue that I believe that we have to find a way of expressing ourselves, and in whatever way that we can be able to air our views, and or maybe Chair, if we can, I see that we'll be getting some briefings on a number of areas, including the Madagascar situation. I wonder if it's not possible for us to get a briefing on the Sahara and the Republic, and because the situation is quite painful. The question of the Pan-African Parliament and the construction of it, is there any latest information that you have about it? The building itself, because as a country we committed ourselves to it, and we said it explicitly. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The one of perhaps latching on to what Honorable Marcus Kosana said earlier. We need to find a way of incorporating what is peculiarly termed public diplomacy into our program. And perhaps give some form of practical expression to what diplomacy to what public diplomacy is, because I'm not so sure whether we are on the same page in terms of what public diplomacy is. To me, it's a flimsy definition of whether public diplomacy itself is the correct way to define. But point is, we need to. Part of our mandate is to ensure public participation over and above the other problems that emanate as a result of an uninformed citizenry, which we have seen in the recent past. So that needs to be another one leg of our program.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I don't know if I have to re-emphasize the one that I have requested, the issue of the EU, and just also to add support on what the Honorable Mahama has said about public diplomacy. If this program is informed by the budget vote, I think we are very vocal, myself and you, in terms of public diplomacy. and I think we definitely have to see how do we filter that through, because I think there is always this notion that this parliament is an activist parliament. So that means public development diplomacy would be very relevant in that regard. So I think one thing that we have to do, but considering the budget implications, because of I'm worried, the speaker's budget vote, he did indicate that we've got a shortfall of 150 million, which might make it difficult for us to perform our oversight duties. So I'm not sure on how do we filter those two conflicting areas together, the budget and our oversight role.
Colleagues, I think all these ideas, we're going to incorporate them into a new document, which will be a revised document. And that will be sent to everybody on time, also to comment. I'll make sure that it happens, that it's sent to everybody on time. But I think some of the issues which have been raised here, maybe we must just look at them closely. The first point which has been raised by Babu's Kosana is a very important point, that we need a broader consultation. No, certainly I agree with that. The former members, how they've been handling this particular area, including yourself. But I think we must even talk about how do we bring in those people in the form of a workshop who are participating in the various forums. Like you were saying, there are people in the PAP. One of the issues which we do not know, reports which are coming from those forums, where do they go? The issues, where are they being discussed? Because there are issues which I think for this committee they need to be taken up. You know, this question, which is where do we derive this program, is a very important question, because it's linked to the last question of Honorable Mahalab. Part of the problem we were seated with, which we're discussing, was, I'm not sure whether I must put it this way, that Honorable Lubabu's Kosan is a culprit. I'm not sure whether it's him and the other grouping who are allocating every committee 200,000 across the board, because that's the problem we sit at. So he's distancing himself from that. But the reality we are faced with, in a meeting of chairs, it became very clear that across the board, 200,000 for every committee. The question is, what can you do with that? Will you be able to implement all you want to implement with such a budget? Even if we have to be creative, because we must also not create an impression that money is always available. But the question is going to be, every committee is raising this same question. And everybody is saying the response from those who are controlling the purse, given the exchange rate, given the global financial crisis, we're having a shrinking budget and so on. So how do you deal with that particular reality? And I think in a meeting of chairs, there was an appeal that something has to be done. Maybe when we talk about the next financial year, we might be able to see something significant in terms of the budget of the committee. But we were thinking about what happens between now and maybe the end of the year, which then to me says it is correct for those colleagues who are raising the issues of what are the key agent or topical issues which we must engage with. Zimbabwe is one of them. Of course, it's one of the issue of Sudan is one of them. That would need to prioritize that they come into this year. The issue of the Western Sahara, definitely. And I thought somebody was going to be asking I thought somebody was also going to raise the issue about the agreement which has just been signed at the level of the AU in relation to Bashir and vis-a-vis other positions where we are also, well, I guess we endorsed the founding agreement of the ICC, where the issue of justice is at the top end, but we are also a leading member, and everybody is looking upon South Africa to take a lead at the level of the AU. And I thought that somebody was going to be able to raise that issue. But I think we must be able to talk about all those issues. Welcome, Honorable Mampet. Which therefore suggests that together with our researchers, we will take all this input, try and integrate these ideas. But one of the issues I felt very strong about, how do we start monitoring the implementation of international agreements if we don't know about those agreements themselves, what their implications are, which agreements are for a review, and so on and so on. I think one of the workshops, and I think we must put this as a very important workshop, we would need a workshop to talk about all the agreements we have. Just a workshop about all the agreements which we have in South Africa with the various multilateral or bilateral, and those which are going to come to a review. And I understand the Cotonou is one of them. And what are those areas? What are the implications for us? Because what we must refuse, and I'm very emphatic on this one, we must refuse that something is signed by the executive and then we endorse it, we become a rubber stamp. It must be the other way. If they know that there's an agreement which has to be signed at an international level, the sooner they do their homework and put the processes which must come to us, the better. But what we have seen is Parliament just endorsing and endorsing and endorsing. So I think that must come very, very early. That also includes the issue of public diplomacy. But it must be very clear that as the committee, we are not diplomats. Other people are diplomats. We are the people's representatives. So there are people who have to do in diplomacy, not us. In diplomacy, then red can be yellow to net particular interests. But as representatives of the people, we must be able to raise the issues as they are, and I hope, Honourable Makalapa, this issue of the budget is still going to be subjected to some debate, because I think that it's a serious constraint to everybody. We will take all these recommendations then. Rework this document, send it to you, and in the next meeting, we must be able to adopt it and use it as our guide. Honorable Sma? Akondo, Akondo,
Mr. That is my issue. I thought that currently, Honorable Chairman, the situation in the region is a bit precarious with regard to all these people. I wonder if we can't get
and some kind of interaction about that. And the truth is that one of the powers we have done. Regional integration is very crucial. And it cuts across a number of areas. And we could already have I thought that I want to separate the comment that we also should be welcome to that aspect.
Thank you. Honorable Skusan.
No, sir, thank you, Mr. President. Let me ask you to come on with Matt about this regional integration, because we could also deal with the question of the United States of Africa, because there are different views. There are views from different African countries that ourselves use as a African different views. Whether in the country itself we agree with the issue of the record. Secondly, I think you're correct on the issue of treaties that are needed. I think that issue is also on the table of the issues like that. That we have problems with the treaties, we have problems with the agreement. Which in fact the people who are supposed to implement are the ordinary people in this country and other countries. But members of parliament are not privy to the discussion. And these are the people who need to convince their constituencies about the treaties that are given. And if we speak about the social contract between members of parliament and their constituents, then we're talking about issues like those. There is a contract which is in which but we have left that to what we have attracted. The other point I wanted to mention is that which I think almost not spoke about Zimbabwe. I think it means this also. It's because there is this reluctance on the part of parliamentarians to be involved in conflict and resolution issues. We would rather visit those countries, Dr. M.G. But we are not involved in this conflict resolution. We leave that to the W. We say the president will do that, the minister of foreign affairs will do that. And in my view, that is wrong, because if an ICG or an agreement has to be reached in the area of conflict resolution, then it means members of parliament part of that. Why? Because they are the ones who need to interpret this treaty agreement to their constituents. And in that case, you have a lasting peace if members of parliament are involved and they are the ones who interpret the issues of this country. So they are members, this is how we talk about it. But at the moment, it's all eyes on the president and minister. That is why the agreement is already last, that is why the country are only coming back, because the people who are affected on the ground do not know what the whole treaty agreement is about. The peace is coming up. The other point I wanted to bring in, I won't say much, is the issue of Swaziland. Swaziland is beginning to come back into the political ladder of the South African dream. I had recently that there were people who were saying President Zuma is close to Swaziland on that. Therefore, the issue coming to somehow be black. Now, my view is that I know that they are already believe that there ought to be with the economic blockade. My view is that, I don't think that it works. I think at this point in time, what we need to do with Swaziland is for the president, in conjunction with ministers, to somehow appoint an envoy who would begin the political dialogue with Swaziland on issues of democracy. I think this is how we could shift the situation with Swaziland. Otherwise, we go the route of economy is not paying them. So we might find ourselves surrounding South Africa with this new context of many folks.
Thank you, Honorable Susana. Certainly, colleagues, those who are just in our borders, even if we wanted to close our eyes, we can't afford it. Zimbabwe, Swaziland, they are just topping the agenda. We've talked about Somali, Western Sahara, the Middle East. But this is what I wanted to check with the old members. Of course, we will raise this issue in other forums and bring the information there. The members who have been in this committee for some time, like Honorable Skosana, Makau, Mampeta, how are you handling these issues, like if you want to have a on-site visit, like to Zimbabwe, to fact-find a mission on your own, to say what is exactly happening in Zim or what is happening in Swaziland, interacting with it. You see, I'm trying to take forward the idea you're raising, that you'd remember most of us were talking about a mass-driven international relation, not just between heads of state or foreign ministers. How are we going to help the civil society? Because if you want to promote peace, as you are saying, in Swaziland or in Zimbabwe, for instance, I'm coming from the teachers' union. Why can't we encourage all the teacher unions to engage with their counterparts in Zimbabwe, sending the very same message? Because we are encouraging this thing at the grassroots level, civil society to civil society, to appreciate how we're doing things in our own country. But whenever you are to engage in such missions, how do you deal with them? I just want to get your experience. Because I know the committee must have... I'm not talking about just a nice tour to a country and we come back, but a really working, like, mission to investigate things and put recommendations. But I'm raising this because you have international relations in the House, which talks about interaction with parliament to parliament. Don't you sometimes have joint delegations? Is it not wise that we conceptualize that along those lines, but we're very clear about what our objectives would be if we happen to visit these countries and so on? Appealing to your own experiences, just to share with us.
Well, I may not be clear on that one, but that's the gap I was talking about earlier. But I think the person who was close to the chairperson, or the deputy chairperson, was Andres. Would you like to respond to the question?
Yes. That international relations or the committee wants to actually be accountable and to lead the way in terms of international relations quality issues. Now, from the experience of 1994, we've been trying to do this. The Premier and the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee has a specific role in terms of accountability, in terms of oversight over the executive. And for 15 years, we tackled this issue. So it's not going to be an easy task to actually ensure that policy doesn't just emanate from the presidency or from the foreign ministry, but we also need to be aware of what is in the pipeline and what decisions we ought to be taking, especially in terms of ratifying agreements and so on. Now, we've had this long-standing argument with the executive that we have shown a document to say that side issue. We are not happy with some of the issues, and we are told then that it has to be ratified because it's already signed by the executive. So that's the kind of blackmail issue that comes into play. Now, the thing is this, that we've also been telling the ministry, at least the department, that whatever ratifications are there or things that are going to be signed, send us a copy beforehand so we can look at it. So they know what agreement they're going to sign at ISTA or at the WTO or at wherever else. That hasn't been forthcoming. So I really do hope and pray that this committee is going to set a new pattern in actually making sure that these things happen. In terms of the, our engagement with the subject countries, like Swaziland and Zimbabwe, it is usually done through the subject parliamentary forum. There we, there are two or three meetings per year, and issues from our parliament to other subject parliaments are debated very openly, and the issues on Swaziland have been debated there on Zimbabwe. But we find a reticence amongst other countries also to take constructive steps in solving the issues in Zimbabwe and in Swaziland. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't continue with those steps. I think that in terms of the way the Swaziland Parliament is formed and operates, I don't think it can be a very easy issue for this parliamentary portfolio committee to actually engage constructively a committee of the civilian issue for the certainly try. The other issues that way that we can work through is also the Pan African Parliament. The Pan African Parliament has a Southern African caucus. And the chairman of the Southern African caucus happens to be a member from Swaziland. So what we discuss here can be relayed to the Pan African Parliament. We can also request a meeting with the Southern African caucus to deliberate on some of the issues that we worry about. Because South Africa is a key player in the region, and we need to take step. It's not always very welcome for this, I must tell you, but that doesn't stop us from trying and also promoting and persuading other sisters of other countries to keep certain things in a particular way, simply for the economic growth and the promotion of peace in the region, not because South Africa wants to be better. So those are some of the ways that we can approach the issue.
Quickly, three things. Firstly, about the treaties. What is very clear is that the previous parliaments were reluctant, and you said in the beginning, in your introductory remarks, that you are not going to allow that to happen. If we are not going to be a reluctant, as other parliaments have been, can you, as a chairman of the committee, say all there should be no more treaties that are signed before this committee has been well informed, this committee has made an input? And I think it is something that can be done if the chairman says parliament is not going to rubber stamp what the creative says. So we are saying there should be a moratorium until we are properly informed and we are engaged in issues that are going to affect us and people in the country, that there should be no more treaties that are signed until this committee has really gone through them, ratified them, and convincingly have approved what is being done. And secondly, the issue of interacting with other parliaments, particularly Zimbabwe, I think is very critical. Almost every weekend, we interact with Zimbabweans that are crying and that are saying, what is the South African government doing? Why is the South African government quiet? And when they hear you are an MP and you sit in this committee saying, but what is the committee saying about our sufferings? So rather than depend on the head of state and the minister, I think the chairperson should consider initiating a dialogue with members of parliament in Zimbabwe, particularly those who sit on a committee such as ours, so that we can get first-hand information of what's happening. And that obviously has to be linked with attempts to visit the place on a fact-finding mission. And the third one, about the Southern African caucus, I think it's a very important caucus that we need representation on. And I also want to propose that the chairperson consider approaching this caucus so that we can be informed of what's happening, because we are part of Southern Africa. So even if it's all just as an observer, I think we need to have certain information of what's happening in this South African caucus, because their decisions are going to impact on us also.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are in the beginning of a new term for the next 5 years as a committee. And we can continue in terms of the program to put together a very nice wish list of interesting things happening around the world. We can talk about what's happening in Iran at the moment, or North Korea, or whatever the case may be. I would suggest that before we do that, we
We spent some time in the program, in a workshop, just to sort out exactly where do we fit in. In other words, what's exactly our responsibility as a committee, and what are expected of us, and what would we like to have to see happen. For example, the Parliamentary Group on International Relations is a different entity that looks at how Parliament should get involved in terms of international relations as a role. Then you've got the Department of Foreign Affairs and the Executive, and the Constitution got certain provisions in terms of who's responsible for foreign affairs. Where do we fit in? So I would suggest before we start looking at specific issues and like to talk about Zimbabwe, whatever the case may be, we rather spend some time and get certainty in terms of what our role is going to be for the next 5 years.
That's a very good point. That, Honorable Spence, just I'll come after you. I want them to tie that.
No, Professor, you know, I'm quite startled by this because to me it's a wonderful starting point. And the second point that I wanted to raise within that context is a point that was raised there by the honorable member at the corner. Said that the way we wangle our way through within the region and the continent, and in terms of intervening and within the various and the conflicts and interactions, we have to do it in a manner, in a manner that is not seen to be imposing ourselves. Now, how do we do that, Chair, if we have not defined ourselves first? That is now the strategic perspective of our own approach as we interact with the continent. So I wanted to say that within this context, within that workshop, this must be one of the items. What is our approach within the continent? There's this attitude of a big brother approach. And we are another kid on the block. There's no difference that we're bringing to the continent. I'm saying it within that context that in that workshop, we must be able to define ourselves. Because there will be situations where we have to take positions that are completely and unpopular because we're advancing the objectives of our own values and as a country. Human rights and the consolidation of democracy and various other important value systems. And that must be informed, therefore, by the approach that we take as we interact with this country. We can't just go in indirect instance with Swaziland and just continue to persuade, just continue. There has to be a stop where we say that our responsibility is this, as this committee, for instance. And the reason why we're taking this position is because it dovetails with the values that have been accepted by South Africans as we interact with other countries of the region.
Thank
you. Thank you for concretizing that idea to say maybe the starting point is a workshop to say what are the boundaries, what does Foreign Affairs or International Relations Department, what do they do, and the Ministry, what belongs to us, what does PGIR, what is their field, and so on, and how do these talk to each other? That's going to be the first workshop. And I thought that was what Honorable Skosana was proposing when he was talking about the consultation must be broader than that. Mm-hmm. And you start talking about all these pieces, put them. Mm-hmm. But let's agree, colleagues, to do that, you don't need a wishy-washy thing. Yeah. You might need a two-day workshop. Let's start agree so that we have a very clear understanding of what this is all about. Yeah. And we will have to set that up, and maybe we will set a Friday, which is normally a constituency day, and go over to a Saturday. And so that there's less logistics, and we, given the budgetary constraints, we will look for a venue here, and we're all staying in Cape Town. If by chance somebody is able, our budget, to give us something to do it outside, we will consider it. But I think let's take it as the first one. And then all the other pieces will just fall into place and so on. I think that's very important. I guess that we will also, whether we like it or not, we might need to have a special day dedicated in our portfolio committee program, just to discussing Swaziland and Zimbabwe. You know, these are very big issues in South Africa. Even from the civil society, they want to know what stance are you taking in relation to this, and so on. There are various groups and so on. So we can't run away from that. But we will be able to put all these things together. And of course, some of them, once we go into that workshop, would be clearer as to what is it which we're going to initiate ourselves, what is it which we're going to initiate with the other stakeholders in Parliament, like the PGIR, if there's a need to initiate those things collectively and so on. For instance, if there is a process dealing with the Zimbabwean question, how are we going to plug into that particular process, and so on and so on. So we'll look into all those, and I think as we also look into the agreements, some of the programs are just going to emerge once we see what challenges are there, how far they have gone in terms of the implementation of those, and so on and so on. Honorable?
I noticed that on the program, the draft program, that on the 12th of August, there will be presentations to that department and experts on the South African foreign policy and current trends. I'm going to go further and say, I think that could be a good opportunity, but other than just the department itself, we have a lot of people who can give us input on the issues that we're just talking about. That I know it's expensive. Okay, all right.
Order.
Sorry, I misunderstood you. The experts that can give us input into foreign policy issues and maybe define, give us even a definition of how, as a portfolio committee, we relate to the department itself. Because the department alone will definitely not give us, will not tell us, this is how we want to see you play your role. Because it's like telling a criminal to tell the policeman how he's going to be monitored in his activity. So we really have to be very careful about that. So I think that that slot there on the 12th of August probably could incorporate the things that we're talking about now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Any other input before I close this debate? I think we have enough which will be able to integrate into this document and emerge with something new. Yes, once more.
Just another input. I just wanted to find out, in terms of groups, interest groups that want to address the committee on different issues. I'm thinking, for example, I've talked to the office for Tibet in this country, in Pretoria, and they requested if it was possible for them to present to the committee on the issues of Tibet. It's more or less like an NGO representing the Tibet in this country. They don't have a diplomatic status, but they have interests that they want to explain. There's also what is called the South African-Israeli Forum that contacted me one time. They wanted to find out what's the possibility that they can speak to the committee to present. I think just to educate us on what is happening in their areas of interest, so that we're informed even as we take decisions on those issues. What's the procedure? What should we be doing about that? Because some of these people come to party political offices and they talk to, for example, I'm a spokesperson on international relations in my party, but they express the interest that they also want to speak to the committee. So what's the procedure? How do we do that?
Let's agree that when we're looking at the foreign policy and the current trends in general, we will just be calling the expert in the department. But as and when we deal with specific issues, then particular interest groups will be called. Any interest group, we will invite anybody who wants to make an input on that particular area. For instance, there might be people who have an interest to talk about Zimbabwe. They might be wanting to have an interest about Swaziland and so on. We must invite them. We must hear all the views on those. But we must be very careful that we do not bite more than we can chew, especially if you want to come and discuss foreign policy. Everybody can come left and right and say, I have this. But if there are suggestions, let's hear those suggestions on how to deal with those.
Yes, I was talking about people approach.
Yes.
Calling people in, but people approach and say they would like to make a presentation to the committee on this issue.
Yes. What I think would normally do, if people approach us on a particular area, we'll look at our program, where it falls, and then we'd simply invite them to be party to that. Honorable Magama?
But because that is a
No, I'm just saying the is the correct word circumspect in dealing with these interest groups. Much as it is our responsibility to engage with our constituencies, you know, on these issues, but especially with interest groups, you see, you always, especially in international relations, you're always running the risk of being seen as siding with one group or the other. I can assure you now, for instance, if we meet exclusively with say the Jewish lobby or with some Palestinian, you know, pro-Palestinian group, we run the risk, or there's always the potential, Baba, that we will be, or we might be, you know, labeled as anti-Semitic. I'm just saying, I'm actually just trying to say that we need to be circumspect, you know, when we engage with these interest groups. I'm not saying we should not. We should. We must. But
can I do that? Just to avoid what my colleague here says, we're talking about, although it's international relations, these are relations between states. The relations between states. So the normal practice really was, if we invite a country to be represented, or then we would have to invite the ambassador who represents that country. And then if there are two role players, for instance, with Israel, you will always have a Palestinian representative here. Then you have an Israeli representative. So I think the policy was you would have to invite both, even if it's not at the same time, but you'd have to invite both. But we must remember that you're dealing with states. You're not dealing with interest groups. You're dealing with countries. So you want to deal with that issue from that point of view. I think when you talk about Tibet, you're talking about a country, right? So you would be dealing with the representative of a country or a government. So I think that would make us avoid what my colleague is saying, that you might find yourself embroiled with various issues and accusations.
And also, we must also understand as to what is the diplomatic status of a particular country towards South Africa, even before we bring them here. So we must be able to do a balancing act even ourselves. Mampeta.
Thank you, Chairperson. That's members' concern has covered me, that we've got to be careful. when the groups want to come and see. But we're not just running a stock venue. Nobody can just come out of the corner. We must know the background of the country, who they are, and their background. And of course, I don't know if the case is going to be the same. We have a management committee. They must first send to us the topic, what they're going to talk about. We'll discuss it and contact the relevant people like diplomats who, before we can accept. As much as we agree that we are a parliamentary committee, people can come and make presentation, but not just
stakeholders. No, I think Mapesa has somehow covered me, because I wanted to say that whatever that we do, we have to realize that we represent the people of this country. There must be unity amongst ourselves with regard to and the international and foreign relations. We may differ around and the particular political issues within the context of that, but we carry the responsibility of the positions. If we talk, for instance, the point that we're making, Chair, that we will have to go through these agreements, which means, and some of these agreements we'll have to endorse, which means we'll have to own up on some of the positions. And therefore we can't, within that very same vein, another group comes, which is against the agreement, which actually talks against the agreement that we endorsed as a committee here, then attend and somehow, and consciously or unconsciously, turn against those agreements. I think there would be something wrong, and there would be an integrity problem. And to us as a committee, I'm just raising that.
This then is just confirming that we need that question.
I think that what you say is if you can stick to some of the guidelines in the saying that what is the foreign relations policy, the foreign policy of South Africa, and what is in the best interest of South Africa, and that's the interest of South Africa. And from that, I think, because what we do need, and I agree with everybody around the table who said that there are groups and groups. There are groups with agendas, that they're also thrown the funding from various parts of the world and different countries and push their own agenda. So we need to be careful as to how. Also, I think one of the things that about the experts, the chairperson, we have some think tanks in the country which we can use from time to time. We can come and brief us on particular issues. And they emanate the standard NGOs, some of them are attached to universities of South Africa. And it's always very valuable to have an interaction with academia and members of the think tanks as well, besides the briefing from the department. So I think we do have some resources that we can come to upon an action today. Thank you.
Colleagues, I think we come to the end of
this is one issue which we will have to discuss with international relations and hear what their recommendations are. But I don't think they will pull some members from us because it's research. But if it happens, we will be able to contact everybody here who would quickly make a decision and recommend.
Can we step off the item with an understanding that we will take in detailed notes, we will integrate all the ideas, send this document by when? That's the extent, not say later. We coming back on the 27th?
No.
On the 4th.
if we're coming back on the 4th, on a Thursday. What day is the 4th? Which means our committee will have to sit on a Wednesday. There's no recess with the staff. They are continuing working. Am I right? Which means let's email to you just a week before, so that a week before you come into the next committee meeting where we must adopt this program, you must have received it. And even make comments. Even make comments so that we can deal with that. Thank you. We're stepping off this item now and we're going into just a briefing on the... Can you get the document? Can I use the document? Colleagues, just share this document. I was invited by a forum which was to discuss the preparation for IPSA. This forum chaired by the Ambassador Matsila, but mainly, I think, coordinated by trade and industry, where they were talking about the preparations for the IPSA summit, a summit which will be in October in Brazil. It's rotating amongst the three. The last sitting, I think, was in India. Last year, this was preceded by a meeting of the ministers of foreign affairs from the three countries, just to prepare to look into the area, I mean the work which has been done by the various foci groups, and maybe start talking about some declaration. But if you look into the reports or the papers you have been given, you will notice that there is an academic forum, a focus group on its own. There is a women's forum. And there is a business grouping. There was very interesting, there was also a parliamentary grouping, which I'm told that the grouping was stopped last year from traveling. Because the parliamentary grouping was made up of staff members of parliament. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I think the then speaker stopped that grouping. So we are going to reconstruct a new grouping. I think there must have been some oversight. So we'll deal with those issues. Those are the internal matters that we put a real. Can I just finish this report before you come? This grouping was stopped last year. But prior to that, there was a real parliamentary grouping, which also has a report here. A report by the person who wants to speak now. But last year, it was that particular grouping. But we had agreed that we will discuss this matter with the international relations, because they have an interest on this particular matter, how to compose of a group which we can say it's a real parliamentary grouping to deal with those issues. But very interesting, when one was looking also at the issue, there were all factors, but one factor which was absent was labor. Very interesting. Labor was not there. And were even reported to by Ambassador Machila that President Lula had come up with a labor grouping, expecting that even other countries would be having the labor grouping, because most of the issues, especially the economic issues, had the impact on the various organized labor groups and so on. So we had agreed that Ambassador Machila will have to revise that grouping under the international relations, so that we have all the groupings. And the summit is going to be in October, what? It's 6th to the 10th of October. As to who will go, it's not decided. But you must allow me, colleagues, just to do a little bit of a research as to how do we deal with these trips and focus groups. Because what we must do away with, it can't be everything the chairperson goes. It must be, we must establish focus groups even amongst ourselves in relation to the areas where we operate. And also take hands, because it's also an opportunity for people to get the exposure. Of course, we will have different responsibilities, but the fact that we are MPs, we all have the capacity to represent this country in one way or another. So we will deal with all those issues and make proposals on those guidelines, which we must adopt ourselves as our own internal arrangement on how to handle some of these many trips. For instance, in my discussion with the House Chair, a list of many countries which want to come to South Africa, which South Africa parliamentarians must go to them, and we can't afford to go into all these countries. It's going to depend on what you say, what is our national interest, what is our interest in relation to that. Do we have enough budget? But what we must make sure of, it cannot just be trips for the sake of trips. When people go there, they must come with reports which must be subjected here in terms of discussion and lessons learned and the implications for the country and so on. I just happened to be coming from an organization where there was a lot of trips. And you know, when it comes to these trips, it becomes chaos.
This person is expecting, initially it was envisaged that members of the South African National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces would send a delegation. For some reason or the other, the International Relations Unit of Parliament couldn't get their act together, because it is their job, it wasn't the job of the Foreign Affairs Portfolio Committee of Parliament. What finally happened was that because the conference was very near, the then Minister of Foreign Affairs approached this committee to say, please, let us send a group of people to the IFTA conference in Brazil. And Commissioner Kotesana was with at that first meeting. So there was a group that I think there were two people who were sent and one admin person who was sent to Brazil. The South Africa went with the request that the other three, two countries, India and Brazil, should also send parliamentary groups. They themselves had a problem of getting together, this thing, and coming with a clear mandate as to what they were supposed to do at this time. When the ISPA meeting took place in South Africa, it was a little bit better, but still, PCIR was not wasn't formed at that stage, but the International Relations Unit still couldn't get its act together. So the Foreign Affairs Portfolio Committee had to again step in and take over the working of this unit at ISPA. Last year, when the request was made that PCIR should get the group together and send a delegation. And we, on a number of occasions, because we didn't have the mandate, this committee doesn't have the mandate, Mr. Chairperson, to form a parliamentary committee to be sent to this country. It has to come from all the portfolio committees. So last year, PGIR then decided, all the units, international relations units, said very clearly to us that they are not ready and they are not prepared to take the delegation. And that is the reason that no delegation went at all to India.
Thank you.
So I think we need to, Ambassador Matila knows the problems regarding this issue. So I think we're going to have to get together with International Relations Unit, who's actually the unit responsible for the delegation being set up and for what we send to ISPA.
If you look into one of the documents, I'll just take the last 3 minutes because I've just been reminded by Rev, the sitting at 12. If you look into the document on key recommendations, there's a document, there's a set of documents. There's the IPSA Business Council meeting.
We don't have time. First of all, I
want you
to speak on this.
Let me just finish here. You can see that there are issues of trade. There are issues of energy. There are issues of transportation. The issues of financial services, social development skills, the ITs, the pharmaceutical, healthcare, and biotech, issues of agriculture and issues of the SMMEs, and you see that, which therefore says, as and when we put in our delegation, and that's what we were discussing with the House Chair, that on some of these issues, it becomes a multi-committee, not just a particular committee or just international relations, because there will be a little bit of that, and so on and so on. So, I mean, it's the same with the WTOs. On some of those issues, you might find that there's an issue on agriculture, you might need people from the agriculture. There's an issue on what were the big issues in the WTO, by the way? Yes, trade agreements and so on. Then you pull the people from those. So as to how we're going to deal with that, it won't be strictly people from this committee. It would be under the House Chair, somebody might be picked up from here to say, let's have one person and so on. So we'll be able to deal with those issues.
Just to support you there, Mr. Chairman, because as the former Minister was saying, I was there in Brazil. You were going to find that the Minister of Foreign Affairs was there. But there was also a Minister of Trade and Industry who was also there. There was also the president who was also there. So the different ministers and the different portfolios were there to discuss with their counterparts from India and Brazil. And the business community also was represented by Business South Africa. People like Mr. Mutsepe were there, and even our speaker, current speaker, was there to discuss with their counterparts. Then there were also academics from South Africa, from various universities and so on. They were discussing these issues with their counterparts in Brazil and in India. Now, there were no parliamentarians at that point in time, just simply myself and the former deputy minister. But we are the ones who recommended that to our own president, and that was President Baker at the time. We recommended that, no, the way we see it, parliamentarians from different portfolios ought to be part of this, so that when it meets, they meet also with their counterparts to discuss these issues. Now, the point that you're making about not only people from this portfolio, it means that the chairpersons, in fact, of these other portfolio committees, which are relevant to energy, trade, and so on, would have to be the ones that were consulted. Either they form that group, I'm talking about a convention, that group, or then they designate, as you were saying, that it may not be yourself but somebody else. But then it would cover the portfolios that are going to be discussed there, and it would bring some coordination and synergy when we get back here.
One person was enough.
No, I'm not going to say much because Kofan has said, I was going to say, Chairperson, first of all, now when I came here, when I was given this document, I had to ask people what is IBC, it's in the Lisa, what is it? I don't know.
India, Brazil, South Africa.
I'm here because we're born last month. First time I see this and hear about it with me. What I'm trying to say is that when people go then to these, whoever is chosen to go to the thing, come back to us the extra strong and come and report to us as well, you know, on the grassroots meeting.
Yeah.
So you want to, for instance, one document that I read here, talking about the Federation. I'm one of the founder members of the Federation. This information is wrong.
Thank you. How much more about the ordinary people
That's what I'm saying.
In fact, that's the issue I also raised. I said, I see a parliamentary grouping, a women's grouping. Where are they drawn from? I question all those things. So we will have to deal with all those people so that we have a balanced delegation in terms of all these things. Colleagues, unless there's any other agent item, I thought that was the last item. The next meeting will be on the 6th of August 2009. Thank you very much.
Parliament is
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the hospital. 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 I'm going to go